Mr. Warburton's last days. It was some time in October 1856 that my dear father was first taken seriously ill, his complaint being, as I understand, a disease of the heart. Shortly after, great fears were entertained by his family and friends whether he would ever recover. In November, while I was supplying at Hearst, I received a letter from my sister saying if I wished to see him alive, she thought no time was to be lost. I, of course, immediately set off and arrived in Trowbridge the same night. Dear man, on seeing me, he was almost overcome by his feelings, so finding him very weak, I said little to him that night. On the morrow, I felt anxious to learn the state of his mind and to know if anything oppressed him. Accordingly, when I saw him again, I put the question to him and begged him to tell me if he had anything that lay heavy upon his mind, either concerning the family, the church, or himself. Never shall I forget the pleasant smile upon his countenance as he answered, "My dear child, if thou wast to put the world before me and say all should be mine to tell thee anything upon my mind that in the least distresses me or gives the least pain, I could not. Bless God, I have a good conscience before him. Those truths that, in my little way, I have attempted to preach are now my support in the view and expectation of death. Oh, what could I have done now had I been suffered to keep back the truth of God? But no thanks to me. I have been tempted to soften the truth and been determined not to give such offense. But God has made it to turn in my heart like a fire, and out it has been obliged to come. Oh, the traps that men have set for me! But bless my God, he has delivered the poor worm from them all. Just before I was taken ill, he went on to say, how the Lord did favor me, to be sure. Go where I would, there was the Lord with me. If I went into the garden, there he was. If into my summer house, he went with me too. If into the woodhouse, sawing and chopping wood, he was with me too. He led me back through all the footsteps he had brought me, both in providence and grace. Oh, how my soul was broken down with his loving kindness. I tell thee what, John, I could hardly walk about, for the smiles of my God seemed too much for the body to bear. At last I said to him, my dear Lord, what art thou about to do with thy poor worm? Oh, I wanted him to take me home. I said, Father, your desire will soon be granted. Well, he said, if putting up my finger would raise me up or take me out of the body, I would not do it contrary to the will of God. Not my will, but thine, O Lord, be done. As I was sitting with him one morning, he said, not long since I thought upon my book. Some people have said that it has been blessed to them. It being many years since I read it, I thought I would read it again. But, O John, said he, lifting up both his hands, my soul was broken within me to see the poverty and distress, the fears and despair, the misery and sorrow he had brought me through. Oh, how I sat at his feet and washed them with tears of gratitude. I remarked to him how wonderfully God had proved these words that nailed him to Trowbridge, "Abide in this city, for I have much people here." On hearing the words, he burst into tears and said, ah, it was the Lord that spoke them to my soul, and I, fool-like, wanted to go to Maidstone to escape trouble. I think the Lord has been obliged to exercise more patience with me than with any of his children beside. I do hope, John, when I am gone, nobody will say anything about me. Let my name sink into dust, But let the name of Jesus be exalted forever. I have told the Lord many times, if he condescended to bless such a nothing to the souls of his dear people, not to let them think or speak about the instrument, I have been afraid the whole glory would not be given to the Lord. On one occasion I remarked to him, Father, it is a mercy the devil is not permitted to tempt and distress you now. He would like, no doubt, to do so in your present weak state. He smiled and said, Well, it was but yesterday I was thinking of it, wondering how it was. And at last I said, Well, Lord, thou knowest he was made a big fool of me for 60 years, and he has done enough. Soon after, when all was silent in the room, he burst into a loud laugh, and with a triumphant voice exclaimed, Ah, devil, I can laugh at thee now. Oh, thou cursed, lying wretch! Thou toldest me I should die in despair, and that I was the greatest hypocrite that ever lived. I am not a hypocrite. Come now, come with all thine infernal train. I fear thee not. In the name of my God I would destroy thee. On another occasion he had a very bad fainting fit. Myself, my sister, and Mr. F. were then with him. As he came to himself, he burst out, What are my sorrows compared with his? His temples were crowned with a crown of thorns. He was crucified between two thieves, and one of them was old Warburton's brother, saved by free grace without works. Oh, he cried, It is finished. This was the foundation of my soul and ground of acceptance with God. A short comment that he had made one morning on the words of David in Psalm 46, verse 10, was truly sweet to my soul. Be still and know that I am God. What a mystery, said he, is here. How can the Lord's people be still? For if their poor souls are in trouble, can they be still then? No, the devil will take care of that. Oh, how he will fire his darts of despondency into the mind, telling the dear soul he is the blackest hypocrite that ever walked. When darkness fills the mind and fear the breast, when unbelief declares that all is over, while God himself seems to turn a deaf ear to all his prayers, and blast him on every hand, and oh, the times my soul has been in such spots as these. Can the poor soul sit still here? Oh, no. Poor Jacob, when he saw nothing but death before him, must wrestle all night. No sitting still. Well, let the Lord appear and make darkness light before them, crooked things straight and rough places plain, and tell them, I am the Lord thy God, and bring them out of all their wretched holes. Can they be still then? Oh, no. Then they must praise him, crown him, and talk of his wonders all the day long, and think they never shall forget all his benefits. Well, then, how are they to be still? Why, the secret is here. They must be still from helping God. He wants none of our help. Neither will he have it. One morning while I was sitting with him, he kept talking to himself. At last he burst out, exclaiming with tears, This poor old Warburton, and that has stunk in the nostrils of hundreds, but never in the nostrils of his God, is going to his blessed home, to his dear God and Savior forever. It is astonishing, he remarked one day, that I feel no more anxiety about the chapel, and see how anxious I have at all times been for the cause. Oh, the prayers that have gone up from my heart, and tears that have rolled down my poor cheeks for that place, that God would bless it with prosperity both in spirituals and providentials, and may it yet prove the birthplace of many precious souls. But now it is entirely taken from me. I can leave them all in the hands of the Lord. I remarked to him the goodness of the Lord towards him in taking everything from his mind. In his weak state, it would be too much for him to bear. He answered, "Bless his precious name. Oh, how good he is. Never did I see his goodness so much in all my life as now. Look where I will, there is nothing but mercy that has followed me all my life long to the present moment of time." I said, "And never will leave you, Father, and you will soon have to crown him for it, Lord of all." "Oh," said he, "what a shout that will be." "Sometimes," he continued, "the Lord just gives me a look, sweetly smiles and powerfully says, 'Has there failed thee aught of any good thing which the Lord hath spoken? And did I ever prove a barren wilderness unto thee? And did I ever prove a, and I tell his blessed majesty not to say anything more upon that ground. He has done all things well, and that I have all an abundance in his loving kindness, faithfulness, and truth. Going once, many years ago, I think he said, and from Manchester to Stand, I was then up to the neck in poverty, over head and ears in debt. As I walked, I wondered what would become of me. I could not see it possible that ever I could get through with honor. Oh, how I pitied my hard fate. But my dear Lord soon silenced all my complaints and stopped the mouth of every murmuring devil in my carnal mind by speaking the words of the poet in my heart. When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all-sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. E'en down to old age, all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And when hoary hairs shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born." The Lord then told me, "I will be with thee, and bring thee through all thy troubles honorably, and bring thee to a good old age. Hoary hairs shall thy temples adorn, and like a lamb in my bosom thou shalt be born, and see how all has come to pass. Bless his precious name."